were spread out the clouds before him, who fashioned the earth with his hands, who created the starry host and formed the earth at his command, who scatters lightning before him, commands the rain and snow to fall, who makes the nations tremble, who is Lord over all. He is almighty, unchangeable God, unchangeable God, King of kings, Lord of lords, robed in majesty. He rules and reigns, he rules and reigns for all eternity. Almighty, unchangeable God. He is like the light at sunrise, like the brightness after the rain. Robed in splendor, he's seated on his heavenly throne above. His glory fills the heavens. He is exalted over all. Yet this God of heaven loves me with an everlasting love. He is almighty, unchangeable God, unchangeable God, King of kings, Lord of lords, robed in majesty. He rules and reigns, he rules and reigns for all eternity. Almighty, unchangeable God.
Thank you, Andy. Samantha, what a blessed hymn that lifts your heart as you consider our mighty, unchangeable God. Amen. That song just sends chills up and down my back as I joy in who our God is. And it's a good thing to be together in the house of the Lord. And it's good to be hearing the word today. Didn't mention it, but boy, any of you that missed our outing yesterday, you missed a good time. We praise the Lord for a good time together. And praise the Lord for safety. There were only a few that got really wet, and the Lord saved them. So, but that's so. And also, I wanted to mention, I didn't mention Martha today. Just remember Martha in prayer. This has been a hard move for her to have to move, to be away from her church family, and just uphold her in prayer. I'm sure these are difficult times for her, and even though she says, I know I need to do this, I know I need to go and move down close to where her daughter would be close by to care for her, but just remember and let her know you're cared for. We'll get an address here one of these days and be able to help you with that. Okay, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. I'd kind of thought maybe we would just go on because we discussed them a little bit, but the more as I studied this and looked over it, I just felt there's so much with these ones that I thought that we could learn from in their faith. And so it's by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We've seen in Hebrews 11, this great chapter of faith in the Bible, we've seen how it presents to us those that have lived before and are now a cloud of witnesses that are an example there of faith. We've been able to see faith lived out in these individuals, their lives, a demonstration of what real faith is, given to us that picture of faith. We've noted in this chapter that their faith was not always a perfect faith, but one that at times needed strengthened and matured, and certainly that was true with Abraham that we've studied. We've looked at Abraham's household and noted the effect that one man's faith had upon them and even on us today. Last week, we looked at the faith of Abraham in his last years, and his faith in God is put to what appears to be an extreme test. Abraham demonstrates a true biblical faith in God. Pastor Howard gave us a great lesson as he gave our an illustrated devotional yesterday. You know, the kind of faith that we're speaking of here, I believe, was demonstrated by Amos Finneran yesterday. Those of you who weren't there, Pastor Howard had a rat trap, and he showed how when it set, you know, it set there to get, they put a stick in it and showed how it snapped. I mean, even the one sitting clear back by me jumped when it snapped. You know, I mean, whoop, whoa. And then he asked somebody to be like the rat to come up, but he promised him, he said, I promise you, you will not be hurt when you put your finger on that trap. You know, Amos was the only one that really trusted Pastor Howard. I mean, I looked at him, I said, I don't think he would let that trap hit that guy's finger. But Amos just walked right up because he obviously believed he had faith that what Pastor Howard said was true. And so he came right up and stuck his finger on that trap and it didn't go off. Yeah, Dan says hallelujah. He thought he could see himself going to the emergency room, you know, with a broken finger. But certainly that was a demonstration of, you know, sometimes it appears that if we follow the Lord that we'll be hurt. But God, we can trust in God. We can trust in God. You know, I can't say you can always trust Pastor Howard. I mean, he showed you can trust him in that, you know. But we can always trust in God. We can always trust in God. That's he was letting us know that there are different kinds of trials. There's that where Satan would tempt us to sin. But then as we've seen that, and we looked at Abraham, when God tested Abraham, it was there to show the faith that he had. And Abraham knew that, that though usually that knife is used and can be used for evil purposes, that God would do it for good. And so he was willing to follow God. But, well, I just thought that was such a perfect example of what we are been talking about having faith in God. Not walking by sight, but walking by faith. And that was such a clear example of one that trusted in the other, even though when it would appear that that it could be trusted. So anyway, as we continue today, we're going to look a little more in depth at the faith of Isaac and Jacob mentioned in these verses. Now, though both of them have their faith here referred to at their death, it does not necessarily hold that they each had a lifelong faith. I think that's something that I want to emphasize when we come to the end of the passage and end of our study here this morning as well. But looking at Isaac's and Jacob's faith, we see those verses. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And that was at the end of his life. And Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, worshiped, leaning on his staff. Isaac's, to me, is an apparent early faith. And we don't have a lot upon which to base that. Certainly, we have looked at Isaac. We have seen that Isaac, if there was ever a miracle baby, Isaac was a miracle baby. He was conceived through impossible circumstances from man's standpoint. Nothing is impossible with God, and the Lord had to remind Sarah of that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But humanly speaking, they could not have had children. Isaac was one that was conceived by the working of God, where God opened Sarah's womb, that God gave to Abraham the ability to have children from him. So Isaac was certainly a miracle baby. It was something that he could have looked at and understood as he came even to be old enough to understand that old people don't have children, and yet saw that his parents that were old had children. They had him. So he was certainly a miracle baby. That would have been shown to Isaac. He was a son of promise, as he would have had those things told to him by his parents of how God had promised to them that he would be born, how God had promised to them that from him would come forth a great nation. I'm sure those things were reiterated probably again and again as they marveled at having this son that was a son of promise, a promise of the Lord, recognizing that certainly he had been singled out by God. He had been singled out by God that from him would come this great nation. There was appointed to him that specific heritage, that from him, those promises have been given to Abraham, would be carried out through him and through his children. Certainly we know that Isaac had that influence as a young man. Again, I said there's not that indicates specifically that of his faith, although yet when we come to that story of Isaac and Abraham that we looked at there in Genesis chapter 22, when Isaac is being taken up, when the Lord says to take him up and to offer him, we know that Isaac was trained in those sacrifices. He says to his father, "My father," he said, "here's the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" He was trained in those sacrifices. He understood what it would have been. He had obviously seen that and such there in his life. And so, I mean, I often take from that particular passage of Scripture just the, you know, that understanding that he had there. And again, it's somewhat surmised from my part when we see Isaac. He was not just a little boy. He was a a man of some age when he was taken up there, a young man, probably had much more strength than his father, but he allowed himself to be bound and put upon that altar. It seems to me him submitting to that, that it's quite possible a demonstration of Isaac's faith at that time. It's not spoken specifically, but Isaac in his life had seen the divinely directed marriage that he had, his father had very carefully wanted to make sure that he did not take a wife from among the Canaanites from which they lived around. You remember the story where Abraham sent his servant to go and to seek there among Abraham's own kin a wife for Isaac. We saw God's specific leading as you remember that story. The very interesting story of how Isaac and Rebekah were brought together. You remember that Abraham's a servant, and I remember there in Genesis chapter 24 when Abraham's servant came and he came to this area, he said, "Lord, it's like I'm dependent upon you to lead me to the right one." And you remember that he said as he's there at the watering place where they came to water their animals and where the women would come to get to water, that it says he made this statement. And he prays this to the Lord. He says, "Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink,' and if she shall say, 'Drink, and I'll give your camels drink also,' let the same be she that hath appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master." You know, how am I going to know? And so he just prays there before the Lord, and he says, it's one thing for somebody to give you to drink. Abraham, I mean, he came with a number of, his servant came with a number of camels. I've never had to water a camel, but I've read about camels, that they have a great capacity to store water. And for him to give, for her to say, "I'll give your camels water also," to me, it seems like, wow, that would be quite a thing. "I will get water for your camels." That would have been quite a thing she would have taken on. But it says that while he was still speaking to the Lord, Rebekah comes, and when he asks for drink, she says, "I'll give you drink, and I'll water your camels also." I mean, it says he just worshiped the Lord. It's wow. He understood that the Lord had brought, and it was through the Lord's enabling that this one came. In fact, when they wanted Rebekah to remain a while, he said, I'd like her to go with me right now to go back. And they said, "Well, you'll have to ask her that." And again, when she said, "I will go," I mean, it was just the working of the Lord in her heart. I also notice, and I think of Isaac when here comes this lady that's supposed to be his wife, and he's never seen her or talked to her. And before she ever comes, she veils herself, so he hasn't seen her. he's trusting in the Lord that this is the one that would be for me. There's just a number of things that where he's there accepting God's will in the marriage, it would appear. Is this another possible demonstration of Isaac's faith? Again, I put a question mark in that because the Bible doesn't say that this was an example for faith, but certainly there is some, it would appear, indication of that. But we do know, and what this passage reveals to us from Genesis 27 and verses 28 on, is that he believed God for the future. When it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, Isaac believed what God had said that he was going to do through those that came from him. By faith, he believed God. By faith, he believed that God would perform what he had promised. By sight, he couldn't see that. But by faith, he knew that God, he knew that it would take place because his faith was in God. His confidence was in God's word, what God had said. So there we see the faith of Isaac. Isaac's faith appears to have been resident throughout much of his life. Again, I say it appears to be because but when we come to Jacob, we'll see the opposite to be true. When we come to Jacob, we'll see the opposite to be true. And certainly if we're comparing Isaac and Jacob, there's a great difference there. But we know of a certainty from Hebrews 11 that it was by faith that he blessed his sons. And he spoke of that which was to happen. He had nothing to base that on, but on God himself. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us, even when we have nothing to base what we believe except what God has said, that should be sufficient for us. You've heard it stated, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I mean, that should be the way we live as believers. That's the way we should live on a day-by-day basis when things come up in our lives. God said it, I believe it, that settled it. I've given the little story because it illustrates something, not because I know that it's true, but of the little girl that was on the airplane with the man that said, and she's there reading her Bible, and he says, do you believe what's in the Bible? And she said, well, yes, sir. He says, do you believe in that story about Jonah? And she says, yes, sir, I do. And she says, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him all about it. And he says, well, what if he's not in heaven? She says, well, then you ask him. it makes it, but that's, you know, that's a simple faith of a child that ought to be the kind of faith that we have. God says it, that settles it. I believe it. I believe it, that settles, whichever way you want to put it. It's in there, okay? So there's, I mean, Isaac is portrayed, the Lord lets us know that he was a man of faith here from the book of Hebrews, and he gives the specifics of, as he blessed his sons, because he was believing the promises that God had given, and so he makes those predictions to Jacob and Esau. Now, when we come to Jacob's faith, we come to Jacob's faith, and certainly here with Jacob and the passage that we have here before us, it lets us know that it says by faith Jacob, when he is dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We see here Jacob as a man of faith. We see him as a man that he blesses both the sons of Joseph. It says he worshiped God as he's leaning there on his staff in his old age. He's here when he's dying. And he believes the promises of God. And so he's here. We see him blessing his sons. People look at Jacob and they say, Jacob? A man of faith? Well, it's interesting, the study of Jacob. First of all, and something that really boggles our minds some is what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, when we recognize that Jacob's faith was predestined. It says in Romans 9, verse 11, it says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's a passage of scripture that men look at and seek to deal with in various ways. But the Lord was going to deal with Jacob, and Jacob is going to be a man of faith. Now, I just bring that up because this is before, because here's a scripture that mentions that here's Jacob, before he was born. Does that mean that Jacob was a saved man? Well, you look at Jacob's life. And we're going to look at some of Jacob's life. You know what Jacob means? It means supplanter, or literally heel grabber. Literally, he means he's a heel grabber. Now, when Jacob was born, if you remember, Esau was born first. Jacob was a twin. It was Jacob and Esau. And when Jacob came out after his brother, he had a hold of his heel, like he's trying to get there first. And he was called Jacob, which means heel grabber or supplanter. You follow Jacob's life. You remember in Genesis chapter 25, of course, his brother was older. He was the firstborn, and so he was the one that was going to get the firstborn's birthright, which was a valuable thing for them at that time. In our culture, we don't understand that too well sometimes, but, you know, I had a brother that was born before me, and I basically had the same rights as my older brother did, and it really didn't mean all that much. But to them, that was a big thing. And so Jacob, the supplanter, the heel grabber, he didn't get out of the womb first, but he's going to try to get things so he has the birthright. If you remember the story, Jacob finds a time when his brother has been out hunting, Jacob has some food prepared, and his brother is coming, thinks he's going to die if he doesn't eat. You know, sometimes we men get that way. We think, I'm going to die if I don't eat now. And we wouldn't have died if we hadn't eaten right now. But Jacob felt so hungry, excuse me, Esau felt so hungry that when Jacob said, you're not getting anything to eat unless you, I'll give you this to eat for your birthright. Jacob says, what good is it going to do me if I die? Sure, take my birthright, just give me some food. But we can get in trouble, man, when we put food ahead of other things in life. But that's certainly what happened there with Jacob. He got his brother to give him the birthright. All of what that meant, I'm not sure. You can take and study some of that time and culture and what all that would have meant. But it was that which he should not have given up. But Jacob got it. His brother wasn't very happy about that afterwards, but then you remember that we looked at the blessings of Isaac's wife Rebecca, but Rebecca was partial. Rebecca was partial to her sons, and she liked Jacob better than Esau. And so we find her being kind of a conniving woman. And we see her scheming for Jacob to get his father's blessing that he was going to give to Esau. And so there's another account of where she gets Jacob to look like and to smell like his older brother that was hairy, and if you remember the story there, how he comes before his dad, and his dad, in fact, his dad says, "Your food smells like." Smells like the venison that Esau would have brought, and you, being the hunter, you smell like Esau, but boy, your voice sounds like Jacob's. But he gave that blessing to Jacob instead of to Esau. Jacob was a conniver. I mean, his mother was. She became a part of that, but he sought scheming to get his father's blessing. Later on, we'll see Jacob. We'll see him when he's had to flee for his life because Esau is out to kill him now for what he's done. We see him fleeing, and we see that in the midst of that, we find him. Remember, he kind of got some of his own medicine when Laban tricked him into working 7 years for Rachel, and instead of that, he doesn't get to Rachel, and then he works 7 more years, and then long story short, as you would remember, if you do remember it. Jacob says, I'm going to get Laban. I'm going to get my wages. This guy has tricked me. And so I'm going to get the better of the herds. And I'm going to build up my herd. So they made an arrangement. They made an arrangement that Jacob says to Laban, you know, I'll just take all the cattle that are not... that are not quite right, you know, they don't look like they're purebreds, I suppose. He says, I'll take all those that are speckled and all those, you know, and you get the, you can have the prime, but I'll just take those for myself. And then Jacob figures out, he says, I know what I'm going to, I can make this work. He goes and puts sticks and things and such in the water, so when the cattle look at that, he thinks this is going to make them produce the, you know, he didn't. He thought he understood animal husbandry pretty well, but he didn't understand it at all. But he thought that's what, and sure enough, it worked. Sure enough, he builds up a whole herd. Those that are born are coming out, all of the speckled cattle. And so his herd is increasing. Of course, the Lord reveals later to Jacob. He gives Jacob a dream, and you see, Jacob, you know what was really happening? What was really happening is the only ones that were breeding were the ones that were speckled. It had nothing to do with your trying to trick and trying to do what you did. But throughout that whole time, we see Jacob as a supplanter. He's the heel grabber, always going by trickery, always living in this way. When Jacob was fleeing from Esau, in Genesis chapter 28, that's where the Lord speaks to Jacob there. He speaks to him there, and he lets him know. In fact, that's where you see the thing of the Jacob's ladder. It's where the song came from. I am climbing Jacob's ladder. With it, he saw the angels and those descending from heaven. But the Lord said to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham and thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee I will give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places where thou goest. I'll bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. Boy, you'd think, boy, Jacob must have been a man of faith, the Lord telling him that, right? No, when you read a little further in the 20th verse there of chapter 28, Jacob vowed a vow when the Lord had said that. He says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, then I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Jacob was running scared. He didn't know if he had come, had to leave his father's house. He was running himself. And he says, well, if this happens, if the Lord's with me and brings me back, then the Lord will be my God. God prospered Jacob, not by Jacob's own scheming, like I said, like what happened there with the cattle, but God prospered him so that he came out with a lot of herds. But it wasn't until Jacob was on his way back. It wasn't until Genesis 32. Remember Genesis 32:30, at Peniel, this is actually when he comes back to the place where God had spoken to him, which was Luz, which he called Bethel, but now he calls the place Peniel. It is there where he meets the Lord face to face. It is on his way back in Genesis 32 where he met God. It was there in that passage in Genesis where it says that he wrestled with God. It was interesting. I've often thought about that, him wrestling with the Lord. Until finally the Lord touched his thigh, and in fact, Jacob will limp the rest of his life. The Lord had to break Jacob. When Jacob, even though he came back to Peniel, even though he came back to the place where God had, he said, then you will be my God if you do that. We find him there in Genesis 32, wrestling with God. We find God having to break him. Finally, God cripples him. You know, sometimes we have to be crippled to really come to the place to recognize how weak we really are. And it seems to me that that's what happened there with Jacob. But I know that at that time then, the Lord changed Jacob's name, and he said, now you'll be called Israel. And that's where the name Israel comes from. It isn't the tribe of Jacob, it's the tribe of Israel. Because God changed his name to Israel so that when he did that in verse 28 of chapter 32 of Genesis, he says, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Finally, we see Jacob as a man of faith. He's counted with those of faith. He's a man that we see him believing the promises of God for the future. And we see him as we see in the passage here in Hebrews, where he blesses his sons with the promises of God. And that blessing in Genesis 48:21. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. That's what Hebrews 11 was talking about. Letting him, when he blessed his son, he said, God will be with you, and he will bring you into the land of your fathers. Jacob's, I see, as a ladder faith. Just because he had the promises of God, just because God knew what he was going to do with him does not mean that he was, in his long life, a man of faith. And you know, when I thought of that, I thought it's good for us to recognize. You know, I've had people say, when I've said to them, I've told them their need of the gospel, I've told them of their need of Christ, and they've given me some experience. Well, God protected me in this accident. Well, God did this for me. And they use that thinking that because God has done something for them that they're saved. You know, this is a good example, I believe, with Jacob, that shows us that just because we've experienced something in God's protection does not mean that we're saved. It may simply be God's revealing to you, hey, I spared you. I'm giving you another chance. Not the fact that God's hand must be on me. I don't need to worry because I've been protected. Certainly God protected Jacob throughout that time. But we don't see evidence of a change in Jacob's life. Jacob, up till that time of Peniel, was a supplanter. He was a heel grabber. Jacob was kind of a rascal, you know, but God dealt with his heart. God broke him there at Peniel. And then God changes his name and gives him the name of Israel. I think as we look at that, you would ask the question, is your faith personal? And is your personal faith that then, of course, as it was counted to them for righteousness? Even as with Abraham, his faith was counted for righteousness. These men, Isaac and Jacob, were men that, as they were there dying, they had their faith in the Lord. And I believe we'll see those men. We'll see those men in heaven with the Lord because their faith would have been counted then for righteousness. So as we look at these men of faith, different ones that are mentioned, Here are ones that, no, don't take their all of their life as an example. You take Jacob's life as an example, you get yourself in trouble. But you recognize God's dealing with this man. And God's working with him even in the midst of these times of his rebellion and seeking his own way and thinking that he could make things work himself. God has to reveal to him that he didn't do that, Jacob. It was there, you know. Jacob thought he had to get the birthright by himself. He thought he had to get his dad's blessing by himself. Like God couldn't do that. He needed my help. Yet it was of the Lord. It was of the Lord even before they were born that Jacob would be the one that the blessing would come from him. Even as we saw with Abraham, he had times when he tried to take things into his own hands. Even when he was a man of faith, we saw that faith that had to grow. With Jacob, I think we don't see a man of faith until we see that time when he really came to accept the Lord. Is your faith genuine? Isaac and Jacob had greatly different lives. Yet it was through the blessed working of God that they responded in faith and are counted among those that believed and counted among those that are of faith. That should give you maybe some confidence and hope, even if you have been a Jacob, that the Lord says, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you can come to the Lord today, even having been a rascal. It's by the working of God that Jacob, we see him among the men of faith and not among those that perished without the Lord. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us in the Old Testament those things that we learn about these men. And yet, Lord, revealing to us today that they died in faith. Oh, Lord, may that be so with each of us. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that those have today that have trusted you early in life. We thank you for the blessing of walking by faith and living by faith and those things that you protect us from in that. And yet, Lord, we thank you too for those that you draw to yourself, even in latter life. Lord, just by your mercy and your grace and your love that you draw men to yourself. We thank you for that. Help us to apply these truths to our own lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals if you will.